All right, yes. Hey, take a seat if you would. And also, you came in, you got some clay. Go ahead and take that clay out of the package if you haven't already. And if you could also put that wrapper in your pocket, it'll make our volunteers clean it up in between services a lot easier for them. It's raining in here. It's raining. What is it? Start a new series today on change. Sort of a good theme for the new year, change. And we're going to talk about the properties of clay and what happens with the potter who works with clay. Denise is going to read a passage out of the Old Testament portion of the Bible that talks about this. And there's two portions in a Bible. There's the Old Testament portion, and then there's a Newer Testament portion that sometimes reinterprets some of the things that were in the Older Testament. And in the Old Testament, there's a very concentrated focus on the bloodline of Israel, what it means for the people group of Israel. And in the New Testament, it reinterprets and refocuses that it's not just a matter of what blood you have going through you, what nationality you are, but that God actually forms a new people group, a metaphorical nation of Israel that has consisted of anybody who is in relationship with Him through the Messiah, through the Savior, through Jesus. And today we've got people who are all different spiritual orientations in all different places, and I think you're going to get something wherever you are, whatever your current conviction is. But as you read this and think about this, recognize that New Testament makes it very clear that if you're in relationship with God, you are of this new spiritual thing God is calling the metaphor of Israel.
Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. This is the word that comes to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel.
God, you are like a potter. You are a potter that does work on us and in us. And we are clay. At least that's what I want more of us to see today, that we are clay. We are substance that is in your hand that you're doing something in. And just as we've been working on this clay for the last couple minutes, it is all different from when we first started it. It has already changed. It's going to change a lot more today. And I'm asking that this would line up with spiritual change that happens in here today. Emotional change, family change, personality change, intellectual change, relational change. There's so many things that need to change in our lives and in this place. And I'm asking that you would help facilitate that today. That's in your name I pray. Amen. You know, when I was a kid, I kept thinking there was going to be this place where I would get to, this certain place, and at that moment I would be like solid. all change would be done, all surprises would be over with, and I would just kind of be who I was. You ever have that happen? You ever think that, you know? I mean, when you're a little kid, you think, okay, as soon as I get out of my parents' house, then I'll be solid. I'll be who I am. That's just who I'll be. At 18 years old, that'll be it. Then 18 comes, and you say, oh, man, I got a long way to go. There's a lot of changes in my life. I know what it's going to be when I get my first job, or those of us who've gone to college, when I go to college, or when I get done with college, then I'll be secure. Then I'll be who I am. My changes will be over. And then that happens. We think, well, no, not yet, because I think I want to get married. So as soon as I get married, then all the changes will be done in my life. And then we get married and we realize, man, I got a lot more changes to do. And so is the person I'm married to. They have a lot of changes they have to happen. Just a lot. And then we think, well, for some of us, well, it's when I get kids or when I have my last kid. I remember I thought, okay, my last kid, kids are done. Make sure I'm not having more. I'm going to go actually have a vasectomy. So no more changes in the family size. That's it. I'm going to take preventative measures here and kind of, you know, do the V right there. Do the V, get that thing over with. And just thought that would be the end of the changes in my life. And of course, that wasn't the case. And I've always thought that way. I thought when I came to Cincinnati, when I came to Cincinnati about 11 years ago, we thought, well, that'll be the last job we have, or at least that's our aspirations, that's our thoughts, that'll be the last place. So once we come to Cincinnati, and there won't be any more big changes in our life, that'll be it. And what do you know, just the beginning of changes have started to happen over the last 11 years. We keep thinking that the changes are over or that we're set, and if you ever do get set, that is a sad day. That's a sad day. Saddest thing anybody could say to you is, boy, you haven't changed a bit. That is sad. As that, because when you haven't changed a bit, God's hands aren't on you. Just last night, I was realizing that somebody thinks I need to change. My family thinks I need to change. They were informing me that whenever an idea comes up that I haven't thought of, when they have to bring it to me, I'm always negative on it. That's what they're trying to tell me. And I said, well, you know, I started disagreeing with them. And they said, 1,000 Frenchmen can't be wrong. I said, well, it's four, first of all. It's not 1,000. Trying to, you know, argue that I should have. Then I just, you know, I still got to figure this out. Maybe this is an area that I need to change in. And yet another one. I mean, there's these constant things that come up. This last year, there's a verse that I've known for a long time, have quoted, have tried to make a part of my life. And I realized, man, I'm not living this verse yet. It comes from the book of Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus says, hey, it's really good that you love people, but anybody can love people who love them. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. This last year, there was a major outage I realized that I need to change in. That is when somebody disagrees with me or is opposed to something that I'm really passionate about. And in a way, they're like an enemy. And I found that I've demonized people either internally and sometimes externally. What I've said because of somebody might disagree with something I'm passionate about. One of those things where it really popped into my mind this last year was the CityLink Center. We haven't talked about this a lot for the last year for a variety of reasons. I'm going to talk about this Wednesday at Vision Night. But that whole thing is such a combustible, tense thing. And I just found at the end of one of the most recent legs, realized, man, I didn't love people all that well who disagreed with me or us. And I need to change now. That's just not good. I mean, these things, God will always do something in you. There's these constant changes that come up. Now, four things that come out of the passage that Denise read, and a couple other things I want to read today. Four things I want you to understand that God has in common with the potter, that you have in common with the clay, and the realities of change and spiritual growth that are happening as you work over the physical realities that you're experiencing as you do this, mirror the spiritual realities. One thing is this. All clay is different. All clay is different. Some of us have, everyone hold up your clay. If you got clay, look around, okay? See, we've got different size, shapes. We also got different colors that are there. All clay is different. Now, in other ways, though, the metaphor breaks down because all of our clay really is the same. Because thankfulness to the Industrial Revolution, we have processes that make this very uniform and chemical. So this clay is very, very similar. But back in the time of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, that was not the way it was. When potters would go out and try to get clay to form a vessel, they have to go and dig beside a riverbed or dig beside a creek bed or dig a deep hole. And the mineral content was always different. And what the potter would make was contingent upon the kind of clay he or she had. All clay is different. Stories that I'm going to tell you today are things I've been thinking about, reflecting on over the last, 41 years of my life. Some of these stories you might have heard before. Some of you might not have heard in the context of what we're talking about today. But I tried to look at old pictures to try to stimulate my thinking. What are some ways in which I've changed or ways in which God is wanting me to change? And so I looked at some old yearbooks, high school yearbooks. That's a scary deal. That's really, really scary. Look at old high school yearbooks if you're out of high school. Be very careful, kiddies, what you put in your yearbooks, because someone will read them someday. Very difficult. I looked at my senior yearbook and I found this picture in the football section of the yearbook. There I was, and I'm sitting on this bench, and it's interesting, this bench that I'm sitting on, because the two people that I'm with were the two most popular people in high school, Bob Sample and Al Russo. They're the most popular people in high school. And I found it very interesting that there was a snapshot that showed me being with these people on the bench. And I realized, boy, that is so interesting, because that ties into one of the ways that I've really wanted God to change me over the last several years. How many of us had family members in a house over 12? How many have more than 12 family members at one time in a house over the last couple of weeks? Not many, okay. How about, do you have a meal together? Did anyone have a meal together? All right, if you had a meal and family over 12, you had two tables, right? You had the dining room table, and then you had the what table? The card table. They had the card table. But yes, the kids go there. The kids always go there. Or the people lowest on the totem pole list. So I call it, there's the somebody table and the nobody table. So there's... life is always divided up that way. The somebodies and the nobodies. And I remember being a little kid, being at a card table. My knees start to hit the top of that thing. And I'm starting to get bobbed out by the card table. So I start thinking, how can I get to the somebody table? How can I get promoted? And how do you get promoted? It's two ways. Someone dies. Someone dies or someone divorces. When someone dies or divorces, then you're good. You can kind of move up. But don't make yourself too comfortable, because then that person gets remarried, you get bumped right back down the nobody table. But I remember thinking, how is it that I need to work to get up to the somebody table? Because I didn't want to be at the nobody table. And that was that thing that was up where I was on the bench during the football season. I don't know if I strategically wanted to be on that bench with those two guys. But I've had this propensity. I want to be around somebody. I want to be a somebody. And of course, all of us can be somebody and are somebody, but I'm talking about these elements of pride, where you start doing things and wearing things and saying things and having goals and buying things, and just so you can kind of move up and on the chain, the social hierarchy, in the circles in which you run. One of the reasons why many of us are not changing and you won't change is because you're at the somebody table. You want to be at the somebody table, and the very thing that puts you at the somebody table is the thing that keeps you from changing, and that is pride. Pride. This thing that you are right, you are somebody, you don't have to change, you just have to justify your reasons and justify your actions. Pride. The biggest reason you in here will not change, and why you haven't changed, and why you haven't sensed God doing something more in your life than He is because of pride. Over and over again, the scriptures, God says, I bring down the prideful, and I exalt, I lift up the humble. All clay is different, and God is going to do something unique with us based on the properties of our life. God's not going to do in my life what He's going to do in your life. He's not going to do in your life what He's going to do in my life. We're all going to be sitting at different tables, not in the hierarchies, but just different, because this clay is different. And as the potter works with clay, there's some clay, because of the properties, it can have very high sides to be sort of a wine goblet, because it can do that. There's other clay that's like, oh man, you just need to be a plate. that's about what you can handle right there, a plate. You can be a piece of goo. That's what you can... All potters who are used to the mineral content, as they're working with and forming it, because the clay is different, it will have different things it's exposed to and different things it gets to be a part of. And that's the way it is with your life. God is not going to do the same thing in your life He is the person next to you, because you're a different and unique person. It's not that He's going to give somebody something better and you something worse, just different. All clay is different. Now, the potter goes on, and this is said in verse 4. Of Jeremiah 18. I have clay that's sticking between my pages here. It says this. But the pot He was shaping, that's the potter, that's representative of God. The pot He was shaping from the clay was marred in His hands. And so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. So as the potter is working over the clay, he notices that there are some hard spots in the clay. He notices that it is marred. And so that tends to make him make something than he was originally thinking he was going to make. See, clay's condition dictates its future. Clay's condition dictates its future. I used to believe that no matter what I did or no matter what I didn't do, God had something he was going to do in my life, and that's just the way it was. My days were numbered. God was going to take me out whenever he wanted to. I was a certain thing I was going to say, the certain people I was going to marry or person I was going to marry. No, hopefully not people. Person I was going to marry or things. You know, and it was just kind of like, it just is what it is, and I just have to go through life just receiving and passively having God do things in me and to me. And that is not... that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches very clearly the condition of your life, the condition of your heart will dictate, in large part, not exclusively, what will dictate the kind of things that God will do in you. The condition of your heart, what you are exposing, how you are open to change, what is changing in you, will dictate the kinds of things that you are exposed to in the future. That's what a great potter does. He's doing this stuff. He goes, ooh, I feel this thing here based on the condition. What the condition of this clay. I can't do that. I thought I was going to do that. I can't do that. Ooh, I got to. That's what God does. He adjusts. He adjusts based on the beautiful ability to make decisions that he's given you. He's given you the ability to make decisions. And he expects your mind and your ability to make decisions to be something where you decide to change, where you decide to grow, where you decide to become different. One of the ways I've changed, some big ways, some sort of minor technical ways. When we first started the church 11 years ago, I used to write out a manuscript word for word. I would just type it out, and I would have 12 pages I would come up on stage with. And I wouldn't read it word for word, but I would see certain words on there that I would have highlighted or circled. And it was just sort of the thing I did. And then as years went by, I realized that there was a different level that I needed to go to. And that's a wonderful thing for a lot of people. But for me, what God was doing in me, I needed to change my preparation methods and my delivery methods. So I got away with that. But what I do have, got away from that, but what I do have are just years of manuscripts, page by page manuscripts. And I was looking at those this last week, and I found this one. It's pretty interesting. There it is. I cut out a piece of it. I've oftentimes talked the very first weekend of the year about changes and things I needed to grow in and all that kind of stuff. And this one year, several years ago, I ended up talking about one of the ways in which I needed to change my physical abilities, my physical fitness, my back problems I was having. And I read this paragraph word for word, and it was interesting. And here's what I said. I remember being very appreciative of the temporary wooden steps that had been erected that was coming up on a stage because my back was in such bad shape that it was only with great discomfort that I could hop up on that stage 3 feet high. My back and all the muscles from my knees to my neck were as flexible as 2x4s and made simple things more difficult than they should have been. I lived with constant tension in my back, fearful that a quick jerk in the wrong direction would throw it out. But that wasn't the worst of it. The worst was sitting to do my messages at my laptop and spending a portion of my mind thinking about how stiff my back was feeling. And I just came to a place where I realized that I needed to lead myself for the long haul. That physically speaking, I was not leading myself physically for the long haul. I needed to lead myself for the long haul. And as I read this, I thought, I forgot about that. Because this was like 5 years ago. And I thought, I forgot that I was in that bad of shape. I forgot that when I did email, I was constantly going like this because my back would tense up. I forgot that sometimes I would have a pain shoot through my back if I would go like this to look at Denise. Because I wasn't flexible and I wasn't taking care of myself, and I would have pain shoot through my back and I'd kind of go like this. I forgot about that. And why do I share that? Because I want to encourage you and say, there's things that you're dealing with right now today that if you choose to get soft on and you choose to change, you can come to a place where you actually forget that was a problem for you. You can actually come to a place where you forget that there was an area you needed to grow in. You actually come to a place where you are literally a different person. That's what discipline does. None of us likes discipline on the front end. But in the back end, when we reap the benefits, all of us love it. You can come to a place where you literally forget that. Where God kind of picks that out of you and moves on to a brand new vessel. Just moves on to a totally different form of your life. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome, man. There's going to be some intense moments today. And there's going to be some really, man, that makes me feel good. That should make you feel good. That you can get to a place, no matter what you're dealing with today, It is a non-issue for many of the things that we're dealing with if you decide that you want to change. If you decide that you allow God to have you in his hands and allow him to mold you and morph you. See what else he says in the same passage. He uses this word. It's kind of a word that might make you freak out a little bit. It's basically the word for change. It's called repent. It basically means change. It's a more intense word for change. And here's what he says, what the potter says. Now, if that nation or people group or people I warned repents of its evil, changes of its hardness, walks away from things that weren't right in their life, then I will relent and I will not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. So God's saying, hey, I'm planning to do some pain, but you know what? If you change, all of a sudden, I won't follow through with the plans to bring some pain in your life. And then he says this, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I intended to do for it. I'm intending to do some really good stuff, but man, if change doesn't happen, there's good things that are not going to come your way. What's happening here? What's saying is the potter can change his plan. The potter can change his plan. The potter can set out spinning some clay, planning on doing a teacup and go, oh, I don't think so. I think it's going to be a mug instead. Oh, I don't think so. I think the potter can change his mind based on the responsiveness of the clay. Now, just so you know, this isn't my ideas. This is God's ideas. So I don't want to freak you out because a lot of you don't like to hear this, but it's true. God changes his mind. He changes his mind based on your changes. Because one of the things that he does is he chooses to be in a relationship with us where we're not robots. And he is constantly aware of the condition of your heart, your pride level, your ability to grow, your changes, your aptitudes. And he adjusts the role he's going to have for you in this world based on your current condition. Is that deep or is that deep? That's the way it is. The potter can change. But you know what that means? That means there is difficulty about to hit you because the potter is trying to pluck something out of you, and there's difficulties about to hit you that is not just the way the world operates. Sometimes there's difficulty that comes to us because the world sucks sometimes to live in. But it's not just that, but there's difficulty because he's about to pluck something out of you that you can avert and not go through that difficulty if you change. And there are things that are awesome things that could happen to you that you can encourage to happen to you quicker based on your level of change. That's exactly what that scripture says. I like to go to hotels. I like being in hotels. Not when I'm in Cincinnati, but when I'm elsewhere, I like hotels for two reasons. One reason is I like seeing television stations I don't have at home. I like having cable stations and all that stuff. So I dig like not having cool cable television stations. So I like that in hotels. I also like that they're clean. I don't have to clean them. I also like in the morning waking up and reading USA Today. Who digs USA Today in here right now? That's what I'm talking about. If you don't like USA Today, you shouldn't be in the US of A. Because that's awesome, man, USA. So I get up in the morning and I get free USA Today, some of the hotels I might stay at. And here's the way this works. I get up in the morning and you know, some of you when you sleep in Kermit the Frog, little nighty gown or something like that. And that's cool. Everyone has his own thing. I choose to sleep in the clothes God's given me. God has given me certain clothes, and I choose to sleep in those. It's a spiritual thing for me. It's just, you know, it's a thing of just want to be thankful what God has given me and not add anything else to my life. So that's kind of how I sleep. And so when I get up in the morning, I go out to the front door and I open up that door, get my USA Today, and that USA Today should be right here on this, right near the threshold, right? Just like right there. Just bend down, just right there. Is it ever there? No. No. Some sick, twisted bellboy or whatever they are puts it in the middle of the hallway. They put that sucker in the middle of the hallway, and now I have a decision. My decision is, do I turn around and go back and get something to wrap around myself, or do I just go for it? You know, I have to make that. Now, just out of curiosity, if you happen to be in that same situation, how many of you would turn around and go get something to wrap around you? I'm just curious. How many of you would do that, okay? All right. How many of you would go for it? How many of you would just do that? That's why I love this church. I dig you. That's right. That's cool. Now we have a bunch of people going to be going, ooh, I never thought about hanging out in hotel hallways before. This could be fun. Yeah. So I decided to go for it. I look both ways and I get out there. And when I'm halfway out and bending down, I've never had anybody find me. If that's where you think it's going. No one's ever done it. I've never had anyone find me. But when I'm halfway out, kind of bending down on the stuff, I feel very exposed. I feel very naked. And in a very strange way, I feel very close to God. Let me tell you why. See, because right now, as we're doing this, there's something physical many of us are doing, and we're learning something spiritual. When I do that physically, I learn and I'm reminded of something spiritually, and that is, there is something exhilarating when we are stripped down and we are vulnerable. This is what the Bible calls faith. Some of you think that faith means I believe in things that are completely ridiculous. That's not faith. That's not faith. Faith is when you put yourself in a place where you are vulnerable, where you do something that's difficult for you to do, where you allow yourself to be exposed to something that is going to make you uncomfortable. And the Bible says that if this is not a part of your thing, being in a place of vulnerability, then you're not living by faith. The book of James, chapter 2, one of the many places it talks about this, it says, "What good is it, my brothers or sisters, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him?" What good is it if a man claims to have faith but really doesn't put himself in a place of vulnerability, doesn't actually do the things, change in the ways that God would have him to change? Does it mean anything what his belief structure is? No. His belief structure means zero. It matters the place you put yourself in, the changes that are happening, the things that you actually do. That's the kind of faith that God gets fired up about. See, right here, what this sort of represents our life, and what we all have in our lives, we have certain things that are attached to our lives. You know, we've got all these things that become part of our personhood, part of what we're all about. And I can't forget my trio there, you know. And all these things, there's nothing really wrong with these things. There's nothing that's really out in left field or just not good about these things. But if I'm not careful, all the things in my life, the titles I have, the possessions I have, the bank accounts, the responsibilities I have, the whatever those things are, if we're not careful, we can assimilate those things into our identity. We can assimilate those things into who we are. And then the potter comes along and goes, "Gosh, I guess I can work with this." Pretty creative, but okay, the teapot's out. I can't do a teapot now. I don't know how to assimilate a trio into my teapot. This is the way many of us are. We have all of these things. We refuse to put ourselves in a place of vulnerability, and therefore we limit God in the things in which He can do in our lives. Are any of these things bad? No, it's just that they need to be beside me and not a part of me. Maybe around me. And this is one of the reasons why I'll talk about giving and tithing. Is because for me, that's the place more than any other where I have to deal with faith and when I feel naked and when I feel most alive and where God forms me the most. You will never go to a deeper place until you start stripping yourself down, stripping yourself away. Sometimes I've had to strip myself of my identity that I am a pastor. No, my identity isn't I'm a pastor. My identity is that I'm trying to become more like Jesus. That's my identity. And these things, as I strip these things away and strip down to faith, I become able to be used and have things part of my life that I couldn't have had before. See, when I talked about my back and all those kind of things, one of the major things that God has worked in me is I need to lead myself for the long haul. Lead myself for the long haul. There used to be a time where I would kind of look down on somebody who would take Memorial Day or Labor Day off, and because it was this pride thing that said, "No, I don't take those holidays off. I got to work. I got to do my thing." And I realized that there were things that my pride was making me accomplish and become a somebody, and it was actually hurting me. It was hurting my inner world. It was causing me to come undone. Old picture I found this last week was about 10 or 11 years ago. And it's a picture of my family. I think the guys have it in the booth. They might pull it up. There they are. Picture of the family up here. This is obviously before the vasectomy because I had one more after this. And here I was up here, and And I think it's something very interesting about this is the difference between Libby and myself, a way in which I've wanted to grow and change and be more like her. You can see Jake is kind of acting up there. He's got the hammer in his hand. And Libby's enjoying the moment. She's enjoying that moment. But myself, no, I'm focused on getting this picture over with. I'm focused. Someday there's going to be a picture. It's going to be in front of thousands of people 11 years from now. And let's get this picture. See, I'm thinking about that. And that was a problem in my life. I would constantly be thinking about the future and not enjoying the moments or not living in the moment. I was not taking care of myself, taking holidays, taking vacations, just doing things that were fun to take care of my own self emotionally. And I was dying. I was crushing myself. The back was just one example, but there was all kinds of areas of my life that were frayed. And I realized I need to lead myself for the long haul. I need to strip some things down and out of my life and enjoy the moment. These were major changes started happening in my life. And God worked these changes in me, and I worked these changes in myself. It's kind of a two-way process. See, the thing about God is the potter's hands will always get their way. The potter's hands will always get their way. They will. Potter's hands will get their way. I needed to learn to live in the moment, and the potter's hands will get their way. See, give me enough time. I'll make this into whatever I want. And this piece right now, if you notice, those of you who have been just kind of playing with this, isn't it a lot more pliable than when we started? See, and it's easier for you to get your way. But make no mistake about it, when you first got it, if you wanted it to be something, it would have happened. You know, the potter can either say, oh, I'm going to just kind of make this little thing here, or you got to just lean into it a little more. And you just, eventually, you start to get your way. And this God will get his way with you. He will get his way with you. It just so happens that there's this thing called the afterlife. Where if God doesn't get his way here, he will get his way there. He will do that. The potter gets his way. What is the goal in life? The goal is to be molded instead of to be broken. God will mold you or he will break you. And he will break you in order to mold you. Because God cares for you and he will get his way because he wants the best for you and the best for what he's doing in this world. Now, do a little exercise right now. And you don't have to do this when we do these kind of things. I don't want you to mindlessly do these things because that's what religion does. Just says, well, everyone else is doing this, so you just mindlessly do this because you have to. No, you don't have to. You want to think about the playoff games this afternoon, you can think about that. You want to think about this stuff, that's great too. As I've been working on this, a few fascinating things that have happened. People have been telling me their personal story as they've been doing this. One thing is people have made objects that came as a natural outcome of the object that was there before. And some of you have done that. You didn't really think what was in your hands was going to look the way it is, but hey, one thing led to another. And there's things that are going to happen in your life. It's going to be a natural outcrop of what has just happened. And this clay right now is very warm. It's very pliable. It's permanently pliable because it's warm. And let's just pray right now, okay? Let's pray. God, some of us in here, I think are warm as well. And it's because your hands have been around us. Your hands have been around this room. And your fingers have woven in and amongst these seats. Because your hands are very large hands and you have a lot of fingers. And some of us know that we've been worked over right now. Others of us, our pride is just denying it. Our pride is not allowing us to notice the thing that you are trying to knead out of us and pluck out of us and soften. God, I know that I have responsibility to change. I know all of us have responsibility to change. You make us beings who can make decisions and make changes. I know I have that responsibility. And I also know that you have abilities and powers that I don't have. and you can do things that I will never be able to do. And one of those things you can do is instigate the kind of change in me that self-help will never do. And many of us want that. We want your help right now in your hands, kneading and changing us. Form us, God. Form us as we see those images. We want the image of us being formed. Form us. Last night I just stumbled onto the shape that I was doing and having fun with. It just crossed my mind as I formed this thing how this is sort of a picture of what God does. God is on the outside working on us, outside in. At the same time, what he wants is to be from the inside going out. His fingers aren't just on the outside of our life. His fingers are in our life, meddling with our insides, warming us from the inside out. And God, that's what we're giving you permission to do, at least what I am. And I know that sounds so, you don't need permission for anything. I don't mean that somehow I have some role of power that I can give you permission. It's just a way for me to articulate to you that I really do want to be clay. I really do. I want to just formalize that and say, hey, whatever you want in my life, and many of us do too. We want to say whatever it is. Even down the point, things that are so precious to us, like I said, my last job, hey, I don't want this job to define me, and hey, you want me somewhere else? Great. Great. Well, wonderful. Whatever it is, I want you to work your fingers in and through my life, as do many of us. Just warm us, and we want to just formalize that statement in a moment of prayer with you right now. It says we're up for whatever change you have over the next 6 weeks. We want to work with them. We're up for it. Amen.